This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You wanted the best. You've got the best. Welcome in, buddy. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. It is Monday, and we are back. Always are, always shall be, always will be, forever and always. Amen. It's the Rob Brown Show. I am Rob Brown. That guy over there, the best in the world, the great one Lonzo, in charge of this and every radio program you've ever liked on planet Earth. And we are, as always,
the best in the world. Got chopped so hard he cried.
Almost. That was, you say whatever the hell you want. That was hilarious. That was objectively hilarious. I got to tell you, this is not where I intended to start. That's okay. House shows are the best thing in sports entertainment. How am I getting Gunther v. Punk, Gunther v. Styles, Gunther v. everybody, but I got Gunther and Mr. Can't Hit My Finisher. I want to be a Jey Uso fan. I really do. I really do. I'm still yeeting all over the radio. But, like, man, I hope he puts it together between here and WrestleMania. We'll find out. We are on the road to WrestleMania. I got to make our sign today, great one. We got to hang a sign so that we can point at it repeatedly throughout the course of the show. I guess I could technically, for like another week and a half, point at the March Madness sign.
You could. You know? You could. You could do that.
This is March. That felt good, actually. Now I kind of get it now. Pointing at a sign feels good. 4 hours of the most electrifying sports talk entertainment you're going to find anywhere on the radio starts right this very second, ladies and gentlemen. It is great to have you. Again, I am Rob Brown. He's Lonzo. What do you want to talk about, Upstate? What do you want to get to this AM? College basketball is the best. It's just the best thing, man. The last 5 days have been spectacular. I love it so much. I love it so much. It's the absolute best. We have got, apparently, sorry, when I get in the AM, when I get in the morning, there's like a process, right? Like, step one is I write the sports flash. And then step two is I make sure there was no big time breaking news overnight that I have to get to immediately out of the gate. And then step three is I move all my audio into the audio folder so that I have sound clips to play for you guys throughout the day. And then step three is I go and I clean up the outline of the show. I don't know why we never use it. We just get to whatever you guys want to get to whenever you guys want to get to it. But I clean up the outline for the show to then ignore for 4 hours. And then step five is I come in here to the studio. I set up the live stream. I open the text line. I get my little battle station ready. I make sure that there's nothing Lonzo needs from me, nothing I need from Lonzo, yada, yada, yada. That's the process. And the last thing I do before we come on the air, great one, is I skip through and around the text messages from the last couple of days because, you know, maybe somebody said something on Wire to Wire that I want to address, or maybe somebody texted something in a drunken stupor over the weekend that they didn't know they were texting the wrong people or whatever. There's all these different things that are good reasons to check the text line. It's the last thing I do before we go on the air. And so I popped open the text line right after I went and looked at the bracket. By the way, the bracket that mysteriously appeared in the middle of the show on Friday, you will remember that Rob Brown was T2 at 6 a.m. on Friday after a killer first round of selections. And then 1 hour later, somehow I got bumped down to T3 and a mysterious mystery bracket appeared at the top of the bracket standings, the bracket competition standings. And it kind of threw me off because I'm like, whoa, this is a late entry. This is weird. This is a late entry. That late entry, Lonzo, is now still at the top of the leaderboard. That late entry has now changed its name for a third time, and I do respect it this time. The name change is now to the Ray Memorial Bracket. And I gotta say, first off, that's a very good name change. I respect that name change. But here's the other interesting part. The other interesting part is since that bracket got added late to the matchup somehow, I don't know how, I still haven't figured it out. That bracket is still in first place with 560 points out of an available, I believe, like 580 or 600. I don't know. I don't know how math works. I don't know how numbers work. But the bracket at the top of the leaderboard right now is in the top 99.9 percentiles. Or I guess I should say it's inside of the top 0.01 percentile of brackets overall. So that bracket is just whooping ass right now.
By the way, number two, also in the 99.9%, and also a Rob Brown show.
10 points back. I got this. TRBS is up there. Now, I will say this. There's good news and there's bad news. The good news is the gap between first place and T6 is a full 40 points. The better news is this. As we get deeper into these brackets, the points become more, like each game becomes more valuable. So if you're hanging out in like T42nd right now, don't worry, because if your final four is intact still, and a couple of these brackets up top maybe got a little wishy with the brackets with the final four picks, there's still a lot of movement that can be made. And then if your national champion is still alive, you got a real good chance. Because remember, each round, the point value per game goes up. If you pick the national champion correctly, you're getting like 600 some odd points just out of that one game. So the last three games, the two final four games in the Natty, are going to really separate everybody. But as it stands right now, the top two spots in the group are TRBS brackets. Now, I do have to say this. I did notice something, and I don't know if he's going to show up today, but, and I want to give him credit. I want to say that there's something more to this, okay? But Lonzo, we may have, and I'm going to let him show up and answer for himself, all right? So I'm going to say this is a question mark. I'm going to let him show, and then I got to go back to the text line because I'm reading the tweet again about that, what started this whole conversation. But you'll remember, we had our boy Brian in the chat, Brian Pettit, who showed up in the chat, was an Armada captain.
Oh, you mean Atolo?
Yeah. So his bracket started with TRBSing on the end, and now T6, all of a sudden it says Brian Pettit Tolos. He changed from the TRBS to the Tolos, and he did so mid-tournament bracket challenge competition. And I again, he's not in the chat yet. He shows up every day. He's a P1, or at least I thought I had granted him captaincy in the Armada. I thought he was a captain in the Armada, right? Like everybody else has got P1s. If you're in the Armada, you can be elevated to the rank of captain under the Commodoreship of me here in the Armada. And I thought Brian was one of us, but I don't know if I like said something or tweeted something or what, but all of a sudden, our boy Brian went from Brian Pettit TRBS to Brian Pettit Tolos on his bracket. And he was a dude I was leaning on as a heavy hitter, T6, which right now is fifth place at 520 points. So we have a bit of a controversy on our hand here. Do we have a turncoat in the mist? Brian, I'm going to need you to show up. I need to know what's going on here, buddy. I really do. I am currently right now T26, which in the bracket ranking is really like being in sixth place because we have a stack of people at T8, including Chris Warren's number one TRBS. We have a stack of people at number 11, including Armada Elitist TRBS and Logan TRBS and Joey B. Joey B came on an absolute surge last night. Jumped from like T38 to T16, just like that. We got a bunch of people stacked up at 16, including Waffle House Luke TRBS, and then it jumps all the way down to T26, which is where you find yours truly at 480. So the bracket competition right now, again, I watched the guy yesterday jump from, and Joey B jump from like T32 to T8 or whatever he is now. That's a huge push. Lonzo was down towards the bottom. Yeah. Now he is on a resurgence.
By the way, I was never towards the bottom. I've always been in the middle.
I'm trying to make it dramatic, man. Yeah, but we do drama here.
You know, I just want you to be accurate. I was never towards the bottom, ever. Not even close. I was always at least in third place. I went past Cole at one point. Diesel was never in the mix. And now I can't find him. And I'm older. I don't see as well as I used to. And there's a good shot. Maybe I'm just missing it. Or he changed his name. But I'm thinking he dropped out. Because you can drop out of the bracket. I just looked.
You can. There is a remove my bracket button. So if you were getting embarrassed, you can do that.
Dude, that would be bad if he removed his bracket. I mean,
I don't think Diesel's not a quitter.
I mean, come on, Diesel's not a quitter. That's not a good look.
He wouldn't do that. He's not a quitter.
I mean, lose graciously. So I'm sitting at 55. My final four is still intact. So I'm good.
We got a lot of traffic up at the top of the leaderboard, and a lot of basketball left to go. Cole Bryson right now, T33. So he's hanging out down there with a couple of you guys, including, let's see, who are some of the TRs there? Oh, the wife has fallen off a little bit. She's not happy. She's down to T49 now. She was talking about it last night. She's not thrilled about it. So there's a lot of basketball separating us from the end of this competition, but here's my favorite part. On Friday, I was listening to, Friday. I was listening to Friday's show, and Cole and Diesel on Wire to Wire were lamenting a little bit of their bracket competition. They were lamenting their positioning. Now, again, it was like middle of day two. Like, there's plenty of room from here to the end of this thing. There's a lot to do left. But Cole and Diesel were lamenting their positioning, and they very briefly mentioned that, and this was mid-Tuesday afternoon, Rob Brown was still T2, T3, hanging out up towards the top of the board. And Dewey, who you will know as the, like, Doc Ock of this show, like, he is the arch nemesis of Robin Zoe. He hates us quite a bit. He texts.
He doesn't hate me. He just hates you.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. He texts the station multiple times a day calling for the employment termination of yours truly. Text the station multiple times a day. He is working on getting hashtag Fire Rob Brown trending, which, don't get me wrong, hilarious. He texted the show 2 days ago, right after Diesel and Cole pointed out that, and again, I've dropped off a little bit, but that Rob Brown had an incredible opening 2 days of bracket selection, saying, quote, both of y'all should be suspended for your poor performances. Hashtag suspend Cole Diesel. So you got a hashtag fire Rob Brown and now a hashtag suspend Cole Diesel. Spectacular drama here in the bracket competition. It's untouchable. All right.
Don't do that. Then I'm back to just me here again.
Oh,
which is how this place started with just me. And let's not do that.
Our buddy Mike in the chat just showed up and said that he is, I got this TRBS, a.k.a. number two in the bracket competition right now, just 10 points off the lead of the Ray Memorial bracket, which is currently first. Mike right now inside of the top 0.01 brackets and that's within the overall bracket competition. So well done. All right. We have got a lot that we need to get to on the radio competition today. I don't know why I'm calling it a radio competition. I guess it is. Everything's competition with me and Lonzo. I don't know what to tell you. On the radio competition today, obviously, we are going to update you on the March Madness tournament as we are now into the Sweet 16 after a spectacular group of round of 32 games over the weekend. We're going to get into that. I want to talk about Dan Hurley for a few minutes because I was, after UConn's loss to Florida, which I've got Florida in the final four, so that's a good spot for me. After the round of 32 loss to Florida, Dan Hurley had a moment when he was leaving the court where he passed the Baylor basketball team who was on their way out to the floor to take on the Duke Blue Devils. And he had a comment to the Baylor team about the officiating in his game, the UConn game, the loss to the Florida Gators. And when I heard that comment, I was like, come on, dog. Come on, bro. Be better, right? Like, be better. And I'll play the comment for you later, and it's edited in censored format, and it needed censoring. But I said, come on, bro. Like, relax, right? Like, your team stunk down the stretch. Your team didn't hit a field goal for, like, 4 minutes, allowing Florida to jump back up and take back over. And are we blaming it on the right? I mean, I do think there were some calls that were a little bit spotty, but at the same time, your boys were just like missing open mid-rangers. That's not going to get it. But then over the weekend on Sunday night, last night, after I got done working the hockey game, I got back home. I was like sitting around watching the games last night, the late games. And the more I thought about it, the more I realized Dan Hurley is doing something that I have asked college coaches and NFL coaches to do for a very long time. And I think there's something interesting in that. And I'm in a weird spot because, like, I kind of like Dan Hurley, even though he's doing a bunch of stuff that I know is, like, real bad. I'm still, like, he's kind of my anti-hero. He's kind of my Stone Cold Steve Austin. He's kind of my Deadpool right now. And I want to talk about that because I think Dan Hurley over the weekend has kind of, not over the weekend, over the course of this season culminating in the weekend, has kind of become the most interesting man in sports. And I want to talk about that. We'll also talk a little NFL. Aaron Rodgers spent some time with the Pittsburgh Steelers over the weekend, spent 6 hours with the coaching staff in their facility over the weekend. Want to get into what that might mean, if anything. And more importantly, ask a genuine, sincere question. Do any of you care? Are any of you following the Aaron Rodgers story right now? Because there's really two spots left for him to play, Pittsburgh and New York. And neither one of those teams has really been a factor in the NFL in a hot minute now. So do we care? I'm going to talk about that coming up later on in the show. We got to get some NASCAR in here as we had a phenomenal race at Homestead, Miami yesterday. Kyle Larson picks up the dub, his second on that racetrack. And the 30th of his career. We'll talk some NASCAR. We got to talk a little NBA and NHL hockey as the playoffs are just around the corner and the drama in the seeding race has started to pick up. We got to get some baseball because, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you know, but if you don't know, well, now you know, playa. Thursday is opening day. It's been so long. We have been waiting, anticipating, and finally it's here, which means we are just days and days away from the very first panic meter of the Atlanta Braves. Opening day baseball, just days away. We're talking about it all because this, my dudes and dudettes, this is a sports show about all the sports. So let's get into all the sports on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
I've never received a text that I like more than, "Rob, you make Mondays suck more." That might be the best text I've gotten in 5 years of doing this show. You make Mondays suck more. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob the Great Malonzo. And you, 844-326-3663. That is the number to the Hub City Spartanburgers text line. 844-326-3663. A number that you can text and tell me how much I suck at my job. 844-326-3663. That is also the number that you can call and get on the air. If you want to come at us in that direction, 844-326-3663. So, my dear friends, shall we talk a little bit about our bracket, our Sweet 16? It's not our brackets, because here's what you're going to learn. The only people who care about your bracket are the people you are competing with in a bracket competition. But we can talk about college basketball, because we do have a few days off. The Sweet 16 on the 27th and the 28th. Here is what we know after 4 consecutive days of wall-to-wall college basketball. By the way, so I came up with this over the weekend. I don't think anywhere on the sports calendar there is a better consecutive 4 days of sports, unless you are a golf fan, in which case it's the Masters. But if you're not a golf fan, or if you're not a Masters guy, there is not a better 4 consecutive days of sports anywhere on the calendar than the opening 2 rounds of the March Madness tournament.
All right, this is not me being contrarian, but I disagree.
What 4 consecutive days are better?
It's when the NFL, college football, and high school football all are going at the same time, which is within like 3 weeks, where you have football on Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night. And most of the day on Saturday and Sunday.
I am going to...
I'm talking about the king here. I don't know what levels you're talking about, but they're below the king. Football is king.
Hear me out here, because I understand that. Daddy ain't dumb. Mama didn't raise no fool. Football is king. Here's the argument I'm going to make, though. While basketball is, I would say, fair or foul... to say basketball is America's second favorite sport.
Yeah, but college basketball is only cared about in March.
Okay, all right. I don't disagree.
And if there was no tournament, it wouldn't be cared about
hardly at all. I'm not disagreeing with any of that. Now, I understand that I am in a unique group. I'm the guy who's watching college basketball in December, in late November. I'm paying attention to basketball camps the way a lot of y'all pay attention to football camp. I love college basketball. I think it's a great game. But I also understand its hierarchy. I understand that basketball becomes important to the people who are talking about in March, in February, when we're closing in on conference tournaments. That's when people get excited. But even if that is the case, which it is, everybody cares about March. Everybody, even if it's for their own selfish reasons, even if it's only because of the bracket competition, it's only because they get to talk a bunch of bleep to their friends and families and coworkers, if only because, as Cody Decker has said multiple times, they get to, even though they're not, pretend they're an expert. There is nothing Americans love more than pretending they are an expert on something. Sincerely, go down to the bar tonight and just say any sentence about the economy, and you will have everyone in that bar with a very in-depth opinion on the economy, and about zero people in there that have any sort of formal education on how the economy works. A lot of people got opinions. Very few people actually understand. And I'm not saying I do, because I don't. I'm a big dummy. All right. But I also don't sit around and go, well, you know, if this was to that and that was to this. Like, I got a pretty basic, like, low-level college understanding of the economy. I don't pretend to sit here and know how every decision impacts everything. It's not that serious when we're talking college basketball. Decker on Saturday had a great point. He's like, look, you know why we love March? Because everybody gets to pretend they're an expert. Even if it's only for 2 days and their bracket gets busted, everybody gets to pretend. And I think that's great. But the fact that everybody is invested and involved, again, there is very little that we can do on this station that in 3 days of hype, we can get 200 plus people invested in. All right? It's not a thing. It's very little we can do to get 200 plus people invested in something. And in total, between all the brackets we have going on, and I'm talking primarily, obviously, about our on-air bracket competition, but I'm talking about station bracket competitions and all the other. I've got directly connected to me between the station, between the places that I work, between friends and family. I am in bracket competitions with well north of probably 500 people. There's nothing in my life I can do to get 500 people locked in, invested into one thing. And so even if it's only for the first two rounds, right? The first 4 days, the first two rounds. Everybody's locked in. And it starts at 12:15 in the morning, and it goes till midnight at night. Now, I'm going to say this, and it's going to get me in trouble, and that's okay. I'm willing to take the heat because I'm right. The people who care about high school football, and I have a respect for that passion and that love. I do like high school football. But here's the reality about it. The number of people who go out of their way for high school football is very small. I'm not talking about people who like it or people who maybe go to a game. Okay, I'm talking about people who are like, I'm a high school football fan. It doesn't make up a significant portion of the audience. It just doesn't. It never has. I've been doing this 17 years. It doesn't make up a significant portion of the audience.
We talk about it more than we do college basketball before March.
And I think that's foolish. Respectfully, I'm going to get myself in trouble here, but I think it's foolish. But that's just my opinion, man. And even still, I would go one step further and say, if we do, it's just barely. It's on Fridays. It's on Fridays and that's it. You're rarely going to tune in, with a few exceptions, and hear segments about it. So I think even with that, let's say that's all true. At the end of the day, you might talk about it more in football than we do college basketball in December. That's not true. You know when you don't talk about it more? The week leading up to and the first 4 days of March. It dominates the radio landscape. Tune into every show on this network for the rest of the day, and I guarantee you every single one of them is going to do 3-plus segments on college basketball. We're going to. Because everybody's tuned in to the tournament. And people will drop off as the tournament goes through to the Natty. But once people are invested in the bracket, like half the people are going to fall out as soon as their bracket gets busted. Anybody who has a champ alive is going to stay invested all the way through. So people are locked into the tournament. Even if it's only for 4 days, people are locked. The nation is locked into this. That's why the NCAA March Madness bracket tournament is the second most money-generating revenue event in college sports behind only the playoffs. With March, it's all the intensity of the playoffs with way more people invested, and I'm only talking about the first 4 days. I'm not talking about 3 days from now when the Sweet 16 fires up or a week from now when the Elite Eight and the Final Four go. I'm talking about the first 4 days. The first 4 days, you cannot go anywhere, listen or watch anything, or speak to anyone without the March Madness tournament being a part of the conversation. If you travel in a sports circle, I was at a hockey game yesterday. The Greenville Swamp Rabbits were playing. I obviously am the in-arena MC for that team. I was in the tunnel. We're in the second period. One of the guys, I'm not going to out him so he didn't get in trouble, but one of the guys who works for the team in the game walks up to me and he goes, Rob Brown, how's your Final Four? First question he asked me. I haven't seen this cat in 2 weeks. Rob Brown, how's your Final Four? Like, that's it. Middle of the game. That's what this tournament does. The first 4 days of the March Madness tournament are the best consecutive 4 days on the calendar, because the reality is, while those of you that are passionate about high school football are passionate about high school football, it's a fraction of our audience. College football is obviously king. Well, college football is the prince. The NFL is the king. That's just what the ratings say. But on college football Saturday, in any given time slot, at most, there's what, two, maybe three games that matter? On Saturday, or on Thursday and Friday last week, we were all watching 3 to 5 games every moment because they all mattered. And that was true on Friday, and it was true on Saturday, and it was true on Sunday. That's not true about football, even in the overlap season. It's just not. There's like any given time slot, at maximum, two games that have an impact on everybody. Everybody's in a bracket competition. So I got to tell you, like, on one hand, I'm very excited because I really like this Sweet 16. Arizona is through. Auburn, Michigan is through. Ole Miss. How about Ole Miss? How about Chris Beard? A team I said the whole time, I'm like, this defense is going to be good. And defense wins championships in NCAA basketball. Chris Beard's defense is through. Florida with a sweaty win over UConn. Maryland with a sweaty goal winner at the buzzer to get by Colorado State. Like, it was phenomenal yesterday. So we're going to talk more college basketball as the show rolls on. By the way, McNeese getting hammered by Purdue in round two. I can't make Clemson fans feel good. That's a Final Four team for me. They are on to the Sweet 16. We're talking basketball. We're going to get into NASCAR. We're going to get into baseball. Yeah, we're going to get into football, basketball, and hockey, and soccer later in the show, too. Don't go anywhere. We are busy, stacked up. Let's rock and roll on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Talking college basketball here in hour number one of the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate, the show that makes Mondays suck more. Rob Lonzo and you. 844-326-3663 is the number to the Hub City Spartanburgers text line. It's also the number to call in and be on the air with us this AM if you have thoughts on the tournament so far. Let's get into some of the round of 32 games that were the most interesting to me. One of them was Duke Baylor. Those of you that have picked the Blue Devils, you got to be riding high right now, because I got to tell you, I thought the Baylor Bears would give a little bit more of a game. Now, I do have to say, slow your roll a little bit here, Rob Brown, because Baylor is a 20-win basketball team. Like, I don't want to sit here and pretend like Baylor was one of the best in the country, but I really did think Baylor's guard play would give Duke a little bit more of an issue, and it just did not. Duke was up 17 at the half, and they never let Baylor put their foot back in the door to drive back into this thing. Duke right now looks, I don't want to say unstoppable, but like, they look real good. And coming out of that bracket, they have Arizona left ahead of them. And I do think that I want to feel the same way about the Arizona game as I do about, or as I did about, the Baylor game before it fired up. They got a cat up front that I really like in Caleb Love. Caleb Love, a 6'4", 205-pound guard slash forward who's averaging 17 a game. The kid can play, but the way Duke is playing around Cooper Flagg, and again, we had questions about Cooper Flagg, right? Like, guy's ankles busted up. We didn't even know if he was going to play in the opening round, and if he did come back for round two, would it be the same guy? Turns out, yeah, by a lot. Like, by a lot. Cooper Flagg in this game, pardon me. 18 points, 9 boards, 6 assists and a block in 29 minutes of play. He didn't even have to go the full 40 or anywhere close to it. Gave 29 minutes. There were, I think, 2 Duke players that had more PT in this 89-66 win over the Baylor Bears than Cooper Flagg did. But when Cooper Flagg was on the floor, Duke looked like the team that I was sold they are. I got to tell you, I was not sold on Duke being a dominant force coming into this. Good team, without a doubt. John Shire is growing on me a lot as a coach. Like, a lot. I kind of thought this was, I don't want to say it was a nepotism hire when John Shire showed up, but I kind of thought it was a little bit, right? He's a Coach K guy. He's a Dukie. I kind of thought it was a bit of a nepo hire. But this guy is growing on me a lot. And on top of that, there's some other stories that came out of this. There were some other storylines that had to be discussed here. One of them is Jeremy Roach, the backup point guard who was really, honestly, probably should be a starter for Baylor. He was a Dokie. And the Blue Devils kind of got to a spot where they didn't really have a spot for him. He goes over to Baylor. This dude early in the game put Cooper Flagg on skates, got to the bucket, hit a little spinning reverse layup, and he turned around and he gave Cooper Flagg a little love chest, a little love tap on the chest, man. Kind of hit him with the, like, you remember me, right, big fella? You remember me, right, big dog? And it was like, it felt to me like this was a sign of respect, right? This was a, like, what's up, big fella? How you doing? Good to see you. Miss you. Love you. Happy to share the hardwood with you again. It felt like it was meant to be like a sign of respect. And I saw that and I was like, is that the guy? Is that the guy you want to wake up? Now, in fairness, it's not like Cooper Flagg burned up the strings, right? 5 of 11, 1 of 4 from deep, 7 of 9 from the arc, but he did have 9 boards and 6 assists. And I think that's what's so interesting about Cooper Flagg's game. I think that's why I like Cooper Flagg's game. He reminds me, I don't know how to put this great one, he reminds me of a Nikola Jokic who cares, right? And don't get me wrong, I think Nikola Jokic cares. I just think he cares about winning and making money, not much else, right? Like, Nikola Jokic isn't a guy who, like, bleeds basketball. He's just so damn good because he wants to win. He wants to win, and then he wants to go home. Like, that's it. And I, for the record, I know that this is to the chagrin of many of you. I don't care if an athlete has that mentality if that athlete wins, right? Like, you can bust up on them all. It's not the mama mentality. Cool, but, like, Nikola Jokic has won 2 of the last 3 MVPs. He should have won all 3 of them. And while I do think SGA is going to take it this year, he is the second place guy for MVP number 4 out of the last 4. There's something to be said for that. Cooper Flagg's got that kind of play style. Like, he can play on the block. He can play on the elbow. You can put him up top and he can play there. He can bully ball with the best of them down low, or he can work you with the ball handling up on top. I like watching this guy play, which is why he can end up with more assists than field goals in a game, and Duke wins by 23 over again. Not a great Baylor team, but certainly a good enough Baylor team. A Baylor team that, had they stacked up with 3 or 4 other teams that are in the Sweet 16, probably would have had a very good chance to get there as well.
Wasn't Cooper Flagg down for a while, so those guys got to play without him and know how to play without him on the court, so yeah, they don't need him as much as they did before?
Yeah, but I mean, Cooper,
it gives you a chance to grow as a player and get confidence in yourself and not just count on that one guy.
Yeah, and that was the big question going into game number 1 of the tournament, about whether Cooper Flagg was going to play in the opening round game against Mount St. Mary's or not. The question mark was, are they going to put Cooper out there? And if they do, is he on a minutes restriction? And the answer was, yeah, they did. And yes, he was. 22 minutes in that game. Now, that game was good for Duke because they were up 54-28 at the half, and they were able to get a lot of their back guys some time. They had 5 guys off the bench who played double-digit minutes, including Isaiah Evans and Caleb Foster, who each had 20 minutes in this game. They had an opportunity, and it was partially because they only had to run Coop for 22 minutes in that game, and they were able to get the rest of the guys some time, which is good. That's kind of like, this is kind of what I'm saying about John Shire, is as far as talent goes, this is a, with the exception of Cooper Flagg, it's a pretty average Blue Devil team. Like, it's a pretty average Duke team. But John Shire, to me, has picked up one thing from Mike Krzyzewski, and the one thing he's picked up is this team is very reliant on each other. I was listening to a clip from Coach K, who has entered himself into the podcasting world now. Respect. Coach K was on a pod like 4 days before the NCAA tournament. And the guy who was hosting, and I apologize. I wish I could remember where it was to send you to go listen to it, because it's a great listen, but this was like a week and a half ago. And I don't remember what I had for dinner last night. Mike Krzyzewski was on a pod with a guy, and he said, Coach K, what do you look at? When you see a team, what do you see, think makes a team a championship caliber team? And Mike Krzyzewski said, the thing that jumps out above everything else is communication. The thing that jumps out above everything else is communication. If I see a team that's got 5 guys on the hardwood talking to each other, that's a team I'm picking in any given game. If I watch you in the round of 64 and I see Team A up on the top of the bracket that's out there just kind of 5 guys doing their own thing, and yeah, they're playing their role and they're fitting within the offense and the defense and all that, but they're just kind of doing their thing. And then Team B on the bottom of the bracket comes up, and that team's yelling and talking and communicating and pointing. He said, and you can tell more than anything else. And I thought that this was, I don't know if I necessarily say insightful, because I think it's relatively obvious when you think about it. I just think it's one of those things we probably don't think about very often. He said, if you look at a team and you see guys pointing, you see guys grabbing shorts and throwing the guy in the other direction, you see a guy walking up and tapping the man in the front of the zone on the butt and saying, slide over. You see a guy when the ball dribbles, down into the corner. You see a guy that's sliding down. And you see him calling for help. Hey, slide, slide, slide. When you see that, that's a team that plays good defense. That's a team that communicates. And that's Duke right now, right? Like, that's a mentality that Mike Krzyzewski ingrained into Duke for a very long time. And I was on Saturday's show. Our producer on that show, David Dykstra, a.k.a. Double D. Zo Farifow, Double D showed up on the stream wearing a Penn State hoodie and a Duke cap. Is that fair or foul? Cody Decker and I were debating that.
Well, here's the thing.
I felt kind of foul.
The guy in Detroit would say that's a problem. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I've showed up to a restaurant wearing Chiefs slides and wearing an Ohio State jersey. I mean, that's two different things.
But that's two different sports. This man's wearing a college football hoodie and a college football cap. Two different teams. And that's like if you showed up wearing a Kansas City hoodie and a Buccaneers hat. You'd be like, no, dog, you can't do that.
Here's what I think it comes down to is fan how you want to. Don't let others like Rob Brown tell you how to do it.
Fan how you want to. I don't tell people how to fan, man.
Sure does sound like you're trying to do
no,
it. The fact that
no,
we were debating
no,
on
correct.
Whether it was okay
because,
or not.
Because there is a difference in how you fan and how you dress. That will tell you how to dress. I will help you. All right? I'm here to help. Here are my Dale Earnhardt Sr. t-shirt and flip-flops.
Yeah, I'm trying not to say anything about the glasses. All right? I've been trying the entire
time. They're red.
Yeah, dude. I mean, just go ahead and go with the goatee. If you're trying to look like Tony Stark, just go ahead and go with the goatee. All right? Shave both sides off. We see what you're doing over there. All right?
No, I just look good.
You just go ahead and do it.
I don't tell people how to fan. I do tell people how to dress. And I feel like, if you walk up in a Carolina hat and a Saints hoodie, I'm going to be like, no, bro. Absolutely not. No. But anyway, put that to the side. The point here, the conversation here,
Arbiter.
Is that in the Lonzo, if you rolled up here, I don't. Never mind. Put that aside for a minute. I'll come back to that later.
Arbiter.
It's a big deal. So, the Duke thing. This Duke team has very days gone by vibes of Duke, and even if you hate Duke. And Duke's given us plenty of reasons to hate him. The primary one, and the reason I brought that up was Double D, when he brought it up, Cody Decker was like, bro, not only are you double letter, not only are you wearing two different schools, you are wearing two of the most disliked schools in America at the same time. Like, you're stacking hate on hate here. And he goes, wait a minute, why do people hate Duke? And I said, I'll tell you why people hate Duke. They hate Duke because for 100 years, Cameron Indoor Stadium, you're playing 8-on-5. You're playing five on five plus three guys in stripes. I only know one
person who hates Duke. I mean, unless I should count you into it.
You know two, okay. But I promise you know more than two.
For what reason? Because other people hate it, so you hate them? Or do you legitimately have a reason for hating Duke?
Yes, because I have watched ACC basketball my entire sports fandom, and in Cameron Indoor Stadium, it is 8-on-5. At Cameron Indoor Stadium, every game it is 8-on-5. And on top of that, you add in the arrogance and the obnoxiousness of Duke fans, and it doesn't give me a reason to like
it. So I don't know any Duke fans.
That's why you don't care.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, I can't judge them by what the fact that you don't like them.
Okay, I'm telling you, I know a lot of Duke fans. And when it comes to basketball season, they're obnoxious. You know what they are? They're the Dallas Cowboys fans of college basketball.
Can't be.
Because they win.
Exactly.
But the attitude's the same. And again, maybe it's justified. But the point here is, whether you like them or you don't, this Duke team under John Shire has the same Duke vibes under Mike Krzyzewski. They've got chemistry. It's organic. They talk. They communicate. They're moving around the floor. There's a lot of teams that would have a Cooper flag, and the entire game would be get it to Coop and get the hell out of the way. Get it to Cooper in the middle, and then ISO out and let him be the best. Maryland did it yesterday. Derek Queen goes down and hits a buzzer beater to beat Colorado State. That was their game plan. Get the ball into the hands of the best player on the floor and then move. And that's not Duke. Duke understands if we play four out with flag in the middle, we open up the floor up for that guy. And if we talk and communicate around it, then that's going to make it even easier for Cooper Flag to dominate. And you saw that in this win over Baylor that was just like, they were midway through the second half. And I'm like, damn, Duke's winning an Addy. Honestly, Auburn's not beating this team. Sparty's not beating this team. Purdue's not beating this team. If this team plays this way every single game, they will win the Natty because they've got the best player in the game, they've got the best communication and defense in the game, and their head coach understands how to keep that going. At a point in time where a lot of other head coaches are flaming out right now, John Shire's figured it out, and I like that. All right, speaking of coaches, I want to talk about Dan Hurley later in the game because he has become the most interesting man in the world as far as I'm concerned. We'll get into that coming up in a little while. We're going to talk some baseball here very shortly because it is opening week in Major League Baseball. Finally, we'll get some NASCAR, we'll get some NBA, we'll get some NHL, and yes, I am going to gripe about U.S. soccer. And more importantly, guess who just showed up in the chat? Brian Pettit, who threw Brian TRBS in the bracket. Now he's T3 in the bracket, and he changed his name to Brian Yolos, or excuse me, Tolos. He YOLO'd into being a Tolo after starting repping the Armada with the TRBS in the bracket. I looked this morning, and Brian's got Tolo on the bracket, and now he's in the chat, and he's given a reason we're going to discuss and debate. Because I got to tell you, Brian, you hurt me. You wound me, sir. I got to tell you. I've never done this before.
No, he might be discussing an HR violation, which could be a problem, and you know, may have to bring this up with
Brian.
Could be.
I've never done this in the 3 years that the show has been repping the Armada. I've never rescinded a captaincy before, and you may have your captaincy in the Armada rescinded here in a minute. We're going to talk about that. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo. He is the sports flasher of your dreams.
You're welcome. It's a record-setting Sweet 16 as Ole Miss became the seventh Southeastern Conference team to make the third round of the NCAA Basketball Championship Tournament. The conference already set the bar with the most teams included in the tournament with 16. The Atlanta Braves made a pitching move yesterday, sending starter Ian Anderson off to the Angels in return for left-hander Jose Anderson carried a 2.65 ERA, but walked 18 through 17 innings this spring and hasn't pitched in the major since 2022 after undergoing Tommy John surgery in 2023. Kyle Larson picked up his 30th career win on the sprint car circuit at Homestead, Miami, passing Alex Bowman with six laps remaining for the win. Larson led just 19 of 267 laps. Tune in this afternoon for 3:07 p.m. for Wire to Wire right here on the Fan Upstate.